enjoying the presence of the Lord as well as your family. And we're glad to see you with us this morning. So if you would, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2, we're going to begin reading in verse number 22. If you would stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word, we're going to read through verse number 35 this morning, asking God to speak to us from His Word. So let's pray. Father, we humble ourselves today before You. We want to enter into Your presence with rejoicing that because of Your grace, because Your grace that was triumphal, Lord, over sin in this world, over our lives, that You have made us more than conquerors and overcomers, that we can come before Your presence this morning. Open the book of life and stand before You knowing that You are our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our great King and God. And we thank You, Lord, for saving my life. I thank You. I ask You this morning to speak to us from Thy living Word, that You would just give us a glimpse of these things. Help me, Your servant, Lord, manifest what You have made known to me. And I pray that as You clearly speak to Your people, that God, You would give us a diligent, determined heart, that we would live that abundant life that You have come to grant unto us through Christ. And that we'd go forth from this place today knowing, Lord, what has been accomplished, and that we have freedom to come before You, and freedom and justification to go in Thy name to do Your work. So we praise You. We thank You for preparing us and for performing such a great salvation. You teach us in the Old Testament that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform these things. So we give You the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading in verse number 22. He says, "And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him," that is Jesus, "to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was in Jerusalem a man whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And may God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and keeping of His perfect and profound word. You may be seated. You know, as we look at these passages of Scripture and just thinking on these things that we find in the Word of God, we see that we have a just an inner blending of the Old Testament prophetic word tied in with this child who is Emmanuel, who was promised to be given unto us. We see that they are His parents, Mary and Joseph, we see that as they're bringing Jesus in accordance with the law, they are keeping themselves according to the law. They come to the temple at the days of the end of her purification, according to the law of Moses. And as they do that, they are bringing this male child who has opened the womb. For the Bible teaches us that all the firstlings, the first offerings, the male child, the one who opened the womb, must be redeemed, the scripture says, because it is holy or separated or totally unto the Lord, and therefore it must be redeemed. And we find this in the Old Testament. And what we want to do is go back for a moment and just look at the process that Mary would have to go through and the requirement of the law upon her life and the offering that she was to give in lieu of this child who opened her womb. So go to Leviticus chapter 12 and let's just look for a moment. Leviticus chapter 12. Let's just start in verse number 1. Leviticus 12 in verse number 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean, unclean for 7 days, according to the days of the separation, for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of the foreskin shall be circumcised." We see that already happen in Luke, verse 4. "And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. For 33 days, for a total of these days that she is to be in a purification process, and she shall touch no hallowed or holy thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, a female, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the Lord of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that have borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean." Now, what we find in the life of Christ, that Mary and Joseph, who are following the law of Moses as it is required, on the 8th day he was circumcised. After that, they carry the child Emmanuel. His name is Jesus. They bring him to the temple. As her days are being fulfilled, she was not to touch anything that was holy, anything that was hallowed. She was not to enter into the sanctuary of God for any reason whatsoever. But what we find in these passages of Scripture, which is so neat to me and something that really stands out, is the very triumph of the grace of God over the law of God. The triumph of God's grace over the law. The law was given of God to manifest our imperfections, that we are defiled, that we are not pure, that we need to be purified. And therefore, this law that was given unto man was a law to unveil to man their need of one to cleanse them, to be clean. We couldn't be clean. So they had to go through this process And as going through this process, she who was not able to touch anything that was holy, anything that had been set apart for God's services as hallowed by the Lord, she was not to touch, nor could she enter into the sanctuary of God to worship. But all the while, she's holding the most holies of holies in her hand. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Here she is who was unclean in and of herself because of that which was natural. The Bible teaches us the natural man is at enmity with the things of God. The Bible teaches us that that which is done in the flesh is done from a perspective that has a defilement of sin attached to it, no matter how we look at it. And the natural childbirthing process that we find, though beautiful as it is, it's still a picture of sin that is transferred from one person to the next over and over and over and over again, that we all have been touched by sin in any way, form, or fashion. We are sinners in need of the triumphal grace of God. And what the Scripture shows us is that here's this mother who was not allowed to go worship God, is holding God in her arms. One who couldn't enter into the sanctuary and celebrate the goodness and the glory of God, she's carrying God herself and nursing Him because of the triumphal grace of God. Amen? You see, the law which reveals our sins and limits us was triumphed by grace, which has no limitations whatsoever, and frees us to worship God even in our infirmities. To worship God even though we're polluted with sin, even though we are depraved in nature, that the triumphal grace of God brings us to a position that we can celebrate the glory of God and what He's done through and from our life, out of our lives. Amen? What a blessing to see that how the law says you can't, but grace says you can. And even though that we find ourselves often down in ourselves and looking at our imperfections and our infirmities and our afflictions, and we limit ourselves by the law of God, God's triumphal grace comes and desires to pick us up and teach us to look unto the Lord. Amen? That, hey, you may, as the in that day, the priests were the only ones who had the services of the Lord, who could offer sacrifices unto God, who can slew the lambs or the pigeons or the turtle doves, and only one time a year could a man appointed of the Lord go in and offer mercy upon the mercy seat and sprinkle it with blood. But here He is, God Emmanuel with us. He's living amongst His people, and very few people recognized who He was or knew who He was. But His mother holding Him and bringing Him in and going to present Him unto the Lord as the law would require. What a delivering picture for me. That, Nick, you don't have what it takes to offer unto the Lord, but God Himself will offer something for you so that you can stand in right relation with Him for His glory. Thank God for the freedom in Christ Jesus. The triumph of God's grace. The law required her to redeem this child. The child belonged to the Lord. Every firstling that opened the womb was the Lord. So for you to be able to keep this firstborn, you had to bring an offering in substitute of him, instead of, because it was sanctified and set apart for the Lord. So you had to bring an offering to God as a substitute for Him. And the Scripture says that this substitute, the requirement was a lamb. And if you were not of means to have a lamb, you could bring two pigeons or two turtle doves. So what we have here is Mary and Joseph, who were not in the upper echelon of their society in that day, but they were just common average people who no one would have ever expected to have God living in their own dwelling, in their own home. They don't have a lamb to bring. All they can afford to bring is two turtle doves or two pigeons. See, that helps poor folk like me relate to the things of God. Amen? It ought to help us as the people of God, as the children of God, when we look around, especially times and seasons that we live in, and we see people, we may see young teenagers, for example, getting new cars for Christmas or new cars for graduation, or a lady may walk around with a nice big old fat diamond ring that her kind husband bought her, but somebody like you and me, well, we can't give gifts like that. Can't afford it. Other people can. But the Son of God came into this world into a family who couldn't afford to give the big gifts or the big prices, the big things of great value. All they could afford was that which was the minimum that God required. The minimum. But they gave their best, amen? But it was still the minimum that which God required. And think about this. Here they go. God required a lamb or turtle doves or pigeons, one for an offering unto him and one for a sin offering. And they would take that offering and it would be consumed on the altar of God and atone for sin. But praise God. Think about this for a moment. They brought the minimum to God because that's all they had to offer, but they were holding within their lambs, not just a lamb, but the Lamb of God. Amen. The Lamb of God. They are holding not just an offering, not just the best that they had to offer. They're holding the best God had to offer. The Lamb of God. The triumphal work of the grace of God over our life. When you give that which God requires of us to give to him, and he tells us, you give him all that we have, you give it unto him, God's triumphal grace goes much more and abounds much more than what we literally have to offer. Amen? The triumphal grace of God. Two pigeons they're bringing, but they're presenting unto the Lord the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. The one whom John the Baptist would soon in the coming days point and see him coming and say, behold, the Lamb of God, he who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, Emmanuel with us. What a triumph of grace. But something else we see in these passages is not only the triumph of grace, we see something about God's timing. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to this earth in the fullness of time. Not 1 hour late, not 1 hour early. In God's perfect timing, he came. And as we look at these passages of Scripture, we see that there was a man by the name of Simeon who was in Jerusalem, who is described as being a just man. That pictures him as being a man that is right with God, but in his dealings with man, he dealt with men how God would deal with men. He was just, he was devout, he was a well-known man of great piety, but he is pictured as someone who is trustworthy and faithful, who had been waiting for something God promised he would see for a long time, and he had not seen it yet. So we see a picture of somebody who is resting in the perfect timing of God. And God promised him that he would not see or know or taste death until he's seen God's salvation. And in the perfect timing, the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him. He wasn't a priest. He was just like a man, just like anyone else. And though Jesus was brought into the temple to the priest didn't know who they were handling or holding. They didn't know they had the very offering of the redemption of mankind in their hands when that child was brought to them. But there was a man in Jerusalem who was faithful and trustworthy that in God's perfect timing, he sent him to the temple to behold and lay his eyes upon God's salvation. Timing, folks, with God is everything. You know how many times we miss out, I believe, on the perfect timing of the things of God because of we ourselves are unfaithful? That we wasn't in a position of trustworthiness or faithfulness, and God was doing something in our midst or brought something to pass, but we missed out on it because we got ourselves distracted and caught off into something else. Well, the picture that we find here is a man who kept his eye and his trust upon the Lord, and of great age and had been promised for a long time, the hope and the constellation, the comfort of Israel. He shows up and the Spirit says, it's time, go. And when he goes to the temple, he sees the man child, the Lord Jesus. And when he's there, he takes the child and he picks him up and he blesses God, blesses the people, blesses Mary and Joseph. And he begins to describe things about this young child that they themselves did not know. And the only way he knew this is because he was a man who spent time with his Creator and Maker. And he was faithful and trustworthy. We didn't read it, but those that have been reading along with us in our daily reading, you read it. You've read this before, some of you. But it says there also walked in at that time another lady. A lady by the name of Anna, who had given herself totally over to the Lord's service. A lady about 84 years old that lived with a husband, the scripture says, for about 7 years. He died, and she gave herself from that time on to be a servant of the Lord. And she was faithful to that servants, that service that she had given herself to. And it's neat how, in the perfect timing of God, notice who he surrounds his son with, people who are faithworthy, people who are trustworthy, people who are honest and true. He surrounds his best with people who are faithful unto him. Anna, Simeon. He didn't surround them with other people. Mary and Joseph. For the Bible says Mary was one who was what? Highly favored of the Lord. And Joseph himself, in his kindness toward Mary, when he found out that she was with child, was going to put her away discreetly where the law would have said that he had the authority to have her stoned. But he was a kind, gentle man. And God spoke to him. And he and his espoused wife, he took care of and blessed her and nurtured her. And just think about this for a moment. Who did God surround Jesus with? A faithful mother and a faithful supposed father and a man who'd been waiting upon the word that God revealed to him and a woman who gave herself to the complete and utter service of God. He puts them around her that they see his redemption and redeemer. And you folks, that's the people who see the redeeming work of God today, people who trust the Lord, people who are faithful to what God has given them. They see things that other people don't get to see, amen? And they see the timing of God, how precious it is. And I believe we missed out on some things in our life. Wouldn't you agree with me? Because of our faithlessness. But you remember, even though we're unfaithful, God is always faithful to his word. And even though we get caught up and the law reveals our iniquity to us, God's grace always triumphs. So the neat thing about it is that I may have been unfaithful to him. I may have not been in a position to see God's perfect timing unfold, to be where I can see what God's doing. But today can make all the difference in the world. All I have to do, the scripture would tell me, is acknowledge my waywardness before the Lord and repent and get back right with God and walk with him and let God start showing me things. Amen? That's the triumph of grace. That no matter how I fouled it up, no matter what I've done in the past, no matter how unfaithful I have been, repentance in Christ restores all that. And therefore, I can get in a position where I can see God's hand. God can put me around things that he's doing and surround me with his perfect timetable to see the glory of God revealed. And that's what we as the people of God ought to long for. Amen? Amen. Ought to long for. We find ourselves waiting for Christmas to come, and waiting for birthdays to arrive and waiting for deer season to get here, or waiting for bonuses to come in, or waiting for this to happen, and waiting for our ship to come in. The whole while, God's wanting to unveil things to us, but because we're looking at other things, we miss it. I'm there, you're there. But if we'll just look unto the Lord, wait upon His promises, God's timing will unveil to us that God is right on His time schedule. He is doing what He is doing for His glory. And we can look in our culture right now around us and find that things are missing in this nation that we live in. And we can get so caught up in it that we can really miss what God is doing. We really can. And I want to be involved in God's work, don't you? I want to see the hand of God working, and when He's ready to unveil something to me, I'm in a position that I can see it, that I can discern it, that I can hear it. But oftentimes, you know, a lot of us take gathering together as the people of God lightly. Come when we want, stay home when we want. We let little bitty things intervene. We get a little runny nose, we'll stay home. Get a sore foot, we won't go do this or won't go do that. Do we realize that hey, we may miss out on something that God wants to say or do because of our persistent unfaithfulness? Are you with me? I want to position, Nick Holden, I want to be in a position that, Danny, I can hear from God when He's ready to speak to me. Because God can speak whenever He desires to. And thank God He spoke to us when we were sinners, amen, in our sin. Thank God He will reach down and send somebody to us and call us out of a life of unfaithfulness and bring us back to a place of repentance that we can walk faithfully with the Lord. Praise God for that. But I don't want to be the one to miss out when God's ready to do something. And it may not be directly with me. It may be with my brother that He's about to deal with. And I'm going to miss out on that because I'm somewhere else doing something I ought not be doing. And I'm missing out on God's perfect timing. Amen. Faithfulness really goes a long way with God and with His people in a culture we live in. You know, a lot of times we want to reach our family and see our family come into the kingdom of God and see our family be just servants of the King and doing what He's called us to do. But you know, oftentimes it's our persistent unfaithfulness that is a deterrent for them to not to see the glory of God. And what we need to be is people who are faithful, positioned to see the perfect timing of God. Trustworthiness is a characteristic of intimacy with the Lord. Go back to Luke. Watch this. Notice what Simeon says. Let's start in verse number 25. He says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see." The idea of seeing is experiencing, to know death before he had seen, same word, to know the Lord's Christ. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him in, the child Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." He was ready to go on. He had seen what God had promised him. He was free. He was free by God's grace. Verse 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Not the plan of salvation, but thy salvation. Amen? Many of us believe the plan, but never met the person. Jesus, He's the Savior. Amen? It's not that I know this plan or can quote this prayer or say these things. I know Jesus. He's God's salvation. And praise God for that. Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. You didn't realize you was in that passage, but you was in that. Amen. That's talking about you and me. The light, a light to lighten, to illuminate the Gentiles and the beauty and the pleasure, the glory of thy people. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold. Now that word behold, remember what the word behold is? It's a what? It's a faith word. Okay, he's telling them, see this in faith. Behold this child. In your translation, is the word child italicized? The reason is that word is actually not in the original. So it really reads this way, saying this, behold, this is set for the fall and rising again of many. It's a picture of him having this child in his hands as he's talking with them. And he's saying, this is for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. Our translators put it in there so we could understand it, because we wasn't there. We wouldn't see the visual picture of what he was doing. But he's holding Jesus in his hands and says, this that I present unto you, this is for the fall and rise of many in Israel. Our very bread of life. He is set. He is destined. He is laid forth and stretched out according to the perfect will of God for the fall and the rise again of many in Israel. The fall that he's talking about here is a specific picture of a fall unto destruction, a fall of being overthrown. It's a picture of something that is falling down and not again to rise up. It's to be overthrown. He is set for the overthrowing of many in Israel. For even Jesus said that he is a rock, a stone of stumbling. And those that fall upon that rock shall be built up. But if that rock fall upon them, they shall be crushed. And Jesus was set as God's perfect redeemer, that those who fall upon him in humble adoration to him will rise again in the power of his resurrection. But those for whom he falls on shall be crushed with eternal damnation for eternity. And this child was set, appointed, destined for these things. Thank God if you've been to a place called Calvary, where God has humbled you and broken you and revealed to you that you are a sinner lost in your sin and there's no other hope and you are helpless apart from him, and you humble yourself before him and ask him for the forgiveness of sin and the redemption in your life. And that at Calvary, Jesus, by the power of his resurrection, raises us up to be his servants upon this earth. He delivers us from ourselves and from our sin and from the power of Satan, for which he came to destroy, so that we can be a servant of his, raised in new life and power and victory to walk with him. But those who continue to rebel toward him and continue to look to him as not being Lord and master of their life, they're going to fall with an overthrow that won't be raised again to death and destruction. And Simeon tells them of this future. And he said he's also going to be for a sign that many will speak against. Think about our day. We were talking about it in Sunday school. Tommy's mother lives in an assisted living home in Tallahassee, Florida. And they had put Merry Christmas on the outside of their door. And they have forbidden them for doing that. If you put anything on your door, you got to put Happy Holidays. You can't put Merry Christmas in the place that she calls home and lives. A sign that would be spoken against. Folks, people in our culture don't like Jesus. They do not like Jesus. And this prophetic word that Simeon spoke, he told Mary, Jesus' mother, that he would be that mark. He would be a mark that everybody went against to speak against, and they did. He was that stone of stumbling. And if he was then in that day, he's going to be this day. For what reason? That the hearts of men can be revealed, those who are his and those who are not. Anybody that has been saved by Jesus knows that there's no other name given unto men by which men shall be saved. That there is no other name more precious than the name of Jesus, the Lord's salvation. Nobody that's ever been rescued by Jesus is offended of Jesus. Amen? Amen. But people that are in this culture we live in is a prophetic unveiling of this very passage. And he even told Mary that in your day, yes, a sword shall pierce your heart. When you see men mistreat and abuse and speak against your very child, it's going to hurt you to the heart. Because he's yours. He's your, and it ought to hurt us, amen, when people mistreat. But it shouldn't distract us, because the Bible tells us these things are going to happen. But because of grace, we are triumphal, amen? I'm not going to let a culture cripple me or trip me up or get my eyes off the whole heart of the matter. I'm not going to let them get me to that place, but I'm not going to bow down to them either. And we need to take a stand these days for the glory of God, amen? That he is our Redeemer. And though the law say one thing, his grace has triumphed over the law. I just want to be found faithful so that the time of the Lord, I can be found in it. When God's ready to do something, which he's doing something in these days, our God is not silent. He's not quit. He doesn't sleep nor slumber like men. He is at work. But am I seeing him at work? He's unveiling his perfect plan that he told Simeon, which Simeon told Mary and Joseph was going to happen. We see it happening right now. Amen. We ought to rejoice. God, your prophetic word is coming to pass. Just use me to go preach the gospel, because complaining about this and complaining about that ain't going to reach nobody. But giving them your salvation. Who is your salvation, God? His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go give the world Jesus and watch him set people free. Amen. For which he came for. Have you been set free? Are you covered under the blood? Have you fallen upon this rock and let him break you so that he can build you again and raise you up? Or will this rock in the coming days fall upon you and crush you to no repair? It depends on what you do with Jesus while you have breath. Will you acknowledge him? Accept him, that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and your heart and life is bowed to him, and you're going to live for his glory. Have you been unfaithful? Repent. I repent with you. Say, God, I want to be right with you. Surround me with the things of Jesus too. Have you been saved from yourself, from sin? I've been saved. I am saved. Sanctified in the blood. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of my great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not offended by him. I love the name of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus. And know nobody else will ever be saved apart from Jesus. That's why I go preach Jesus. How about you? Are you preaching him? Because I believe those who are saved by him preach him. They're preaching. Because it's only through the foolishness of preaching Jesus that men are saved. He said this child is going to be set that he may reveal the hearts of men. Malachi closes out his book with these words. In the later days you will know who are righteous and who are wicked. The wicked will be those who serve God with all their heart. And the righteous will be those who serve God with all their heart. The wicked will be those who do not serve him. Are you serving him? I'm not talking about do you come to the house of God. Anybody can do that. Amen? I'm talking about serving him, carrying his message to a lost and dying world, being his hands and feet, touching the lives of people around you. For this is what Christmas is about. Amen? It's about Jesus. Would you stand with me today? Father, thank you. Lord, we want to acknowledge before you today that more than likely, have not found ourselves in the position of Simeon or Anna, nor Mary or Joseph. Therefore, we've been unclean and defiled before you, but we want to bring to you today a repentant heart, ask you to forgive us, do a work within us, and set us on course to live for your pleasure, for your glory. Thank you for your triumph in our life. We ask you in this place today if there are those who you know who have not met you, who do not know you, that you would reveal yourself unto them, and that you would grant unto them repentance today as you reveal your truth in their life. Thank you so much. For you are salvation, and we rejoice before you. It's in Jesus' name, amen.